We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
It's time for the Mountaineer Insider Podcast. Get insight into your favorite West Virginia University teams and hear exclusive interviews. The Mountaineer Insider Podcast. Have a question or comment? Call or text us at 304-314-4161 or email us at wvumsn@gmail.com. Now let's go live inside our MSN studios. Here's your host of the Mountaineer Insider, Dan Zangrilli.
All right, happy game week, Mountaineer Nation. It is finally here. It is West Virginia and Maryland coming up on Saturday afternoon. Thanks so much for making us a part of your day, your night, however, wherever you're listening to the Mountaineer Insider Podcast. I'm Dan Zang, really glad to have you along. And we've got a loaded up one for you here today. We're going to get a look at the Terps, and stopping by is Emily Giambalvo. She's covered the Terps here for a few years now for the Washington Post. So we're going to get to know a little bit more about the Terps and some of their personnel and how explosive they are at some of their skill positions and what the expectations are for Maryland football. They're trying to put things together here and put together a string of consistency. Wolf is coming by here in a moment. He's been diving into the film and the scouting reports, and he's identified a handful of key personnel matchups as we really start to get granular here on WVU and Maryland. And we're not going to just stick to football exclusively. A lot of it is going to be about Maryland, and Jared Dagey is going to swing by the podcast as well, the WVU quarterback. I had a chance to sit down and chat with him one-on-one in advance of this big one for him as he goes into this matchup here, knowing that he is the starter. Last year, clearly, there was a quarterback battle all throughout fall camp. Dagey now has had an opportunity, and really a full offseason, to know that he's essentially the guy, to prepare accordingly. And footwork, arm strength, all in much better spots. A lot has been made of that. We're going to get a little granular with Jared Dagey coming up a little bit later on. So Emily Giambalvo, Washington Post. Wolf's got his key personnel matchups, and Jared Dagey swinging by. But how can we sweep under the carpet Dan Stratford's bunch taking down the third-ranked Pitt Panthers at Dick Dlesk Soccer Stadium earlier in the week. So we're going to relive that memorable one for WVU men's soccer. Coach Stratford going to stop by the podcast as well. So we hope you enjoy it. We've got a lot going on here, and we're just fired up, ready to go. It is that time of year, and I hope you're dialed in with us. And speaking of dialed in, I want to pass along an important programming note for those that consume Mountaineer and MSN broadcasts digitally, right? So strong likelihood that if you're listening to this podcast, you're also part of the demographic that is going to take in us via your cell phone. If you use the TuneIn app, that has gone behind a paywall, and you're going to need premium access to get MSN broadcasts. That includes, you know, the football games, the basketball games. So fret not, however. It is our mission, and we've made it our goal to provide you plenty of other alternatives. We do not at all, you know, control TuneIn. It's a third-party platform, so we have no say in the matter. But we do have a say in some alternatives for you, which it's our mission to make sure that those are absolutely 100% free of charge. And that means that you don't pay a dime to listen to Mountaineer Sports Network programming. We've got the WVU Game Day app that is available on Apple and Android devices. Many of you are likely already familiar with it. You can simply search in your app store, go and get it, WVU Game Day. It'll pop right up. We also have some other announcements coming down the pike for other free options. So be sure to stay tuned for that. They're coming down shortly, and that's really initiatives pushed out by our company, Learfield. So you shouldn't have to pay for MSN programming. We're making sure that you have plenty of options to do so. So the WVU Game Day app, if that's the way that you want to go, especially on your smart device, just download that. Easy, quick to use, literally two quick buttons, probably much easier than TuneIn, at least that's where I've gone. Many of you know what I'm talking about, so go there. It's free. There's going to be another option coming up shortly, so be sure to stay tuned for all of that. But want to pass along that note. TuneIn is going behind a paywall, so if you are thinking, hey, I'm going to quickly, you know, log on to TuneIn, and then you get stonewalled by a paywall, well, you've got an opportunity to pivot. Maybe you want to get your ducks in a row here before Saturday so you don't miss that big Letty Brown touchdown run. We hope there's going to be many of those at Bird Stadium. And we've gotten some follow-up questions as we sent the announcement out last week on Twitter at WVUMSN. Does this affect anything with our great affiliate stations throughout the state? No, it doesn't. I mean, you can still get Mountaineer Sports Network programming free of charge there. And also, if you are in the Mountain State and you have your smart speaker device, we allow our stations to stream as well. So if you want to go to, say, for instance, our flagship station in Morgantown, jackfm101.com, you can listen to the game through their website. If you want to pull up, as I do sometimes, on a smart speaker, if I'm sitting at my desk and I want to catch the Neil Brown show, or if I want to listen to Hug's show while I'm working to prepare for a women's game, I just go to, hey, Alexa, play WZST-FM, and it'll pop right up. Jack FM 101 in Morgantown. You can just use your smart speaker for so many of our radio stations, whichever market that you are in. So that's available as well. So very little is changing. It's just the fact that TuneIn is going behind a paywall. So I wanted to pass along all of that to you quickly here. As you consume your Mountaineer Sports Network content, we want to make sure it's free of charge and easy and seamless for you to listen to. All right, let's get into it. Coming up, we're going to chat with Emily Giambalvo, and then we'll get Dale Wolfley, then we'll get Jared Dagey, and then we've got Dan Stratford. All in a jam-packed podcast right here on MSN, the Mountaineers Sports Network.
You know the sounds. You know that feeling.
Touchdown, West Virginia!
It's game day at Milan Pushkar Stadium, and game day only comes six times a year.
That kick is good! West Virginia wins it!
Join the 60,000 strong in gold and blue every game day. Get your tickets at WVUGame.com or by calling 1-800-WVU-GAME. Be a part of West Virginia football. Be a part of game day.
So, Emily, the Maryland Terrapins and the West Virginia Mountaineers got a couple of head coaches that are in year three. So let's talk primarily about Mike Locksley as we get to know the Mountaineer foe here coming up on Saturday from Bird Stadium at College Park. What's the, I guess, overall tone and tenor surrounding Locksley's program here in his third year?
I think really, it's just that this is no longer a complete rebuilding job. You know, Loxley still says he's in the growth phase of his program, but this is the year where I think the staff and certainly the fan base really wants to see results and see this potential kind of coming to fruition with some of these talented players. And, you know, I think this is when you really see, okay, is there a tangible step forward through each of the past 3 years? And I think there might be even a little pressure just on the staff to show that things are better than they were before.
And by all accounts, recruiting has been really, really good of late.
Yeah, and you know, that's part of the reason Loxley was hired. He was expected to be a guy who could get these great recruits. He had proven that he could do that at all of his other stops, and he's done that. And that's what you've seen the last couple of years are these freshmen and sophomores having considerable roles or transfers. And now it's getting to the point where some of these players who were thrust into early starting roles or early just considerable playing time, they now have a lot of experience and they're now expected to be solid and not make mistakes and really lead this team as upperclassmen.
Why the change at coordinators, both offensively and defensively? You've got Cincinnati's Dan Enos coming in running the offense. Brian Stewart comes back to Maryland. It's his second tour of duty running the defense. What necessitated that, and what can be expected from not one but two new coordinators on both sides of the ball?
Yeah, you know, you'd expect it to be a lot of change. But I think for Loxley, it's really almost more familiarity even than in the past. So Maryland officially parted ways with Scotty Montgomery, the offensive coordinator, even though the offense had been pretty good. But he got Dan Enos, who was someone he coached with at Alabama when they had those record-setting offenses. And I think, you know, that gives people optimism. Anytime you see this Loxley, Enos, and then Tagovailoa trio, you're like, oh, that reminds you a lot of those great, great Alabama teams that Loxley coached. And then with Brian Stewart, the previous defensive coordinator left to take an NFL job, and he got Brian Stewart, who's another guy he's familiar with. He had coached at Maryland before with Loxley when Loxley was a coordinator. And Loxley has mentioned that they're not changing the defensive scheme. Brian Stewart is adding to it, but they didn't overhaul anything there. So I think for Loxley, yes, this is a lot of change, but I think he specifically brought in people that he was comfortable with. So in this third year, it wasn't like the program was completely changing its systems or anything like that.
Emily, do the Terps have an identity going into this game, going into the season?
I think they're probably still trying to figure that out. I think offensively, they want to be driven by Taulia Tagovailoa. I think Maryland at its best is going to be a team that throws the ball a lot, spreads out, uses its tight ends. The running back position is a bit more of a question. So I think really that Taulia's success is going to determine this team's success. And it's easy to say that about a quarterback on any team, but I do think he has the potential to be great. He showed that at times last year, and he also had some games where everything kind of unraveled, which is what you'd maybe expect for a quarterback who is starting for the first time in his career. And I think he says he's feeling a lot more comfortable and confident and just knows his receivers, who are, you know, probably a bright spot on this whole team is the group of receivers they have. So I think the pieces are there for this to just be a team that Taulia Tagovailoa can thrive with, and that's probably what it's going to come down to.
Emily, you had an opportunity to really take a deep dive on Tagovailoa's circuitous route to get to College Park. You talked to the family. It's going to, if it hasn't already, appear in the Washington Post, so we'll direct our listeners to the website and to search that up, especially off your Twitter timeline. What did you learn about, by all accounts, a really special young man, really special athlete? Obviously not a surprise there, coming from the bloodlines with his older brother's success.
Yeah, I think I went into the story just totally being fascinated by what it must be like to have a brother who everyone knows and who had such a successful career. Like, that, to me, that's got to just be insanely difficult and tricky. And like, how are you, you know, Taulia could have an incredible college career and people could still say, oh, well, he didn't quite do what Tua did, because who could? Mm-hmm. So that was really interesting to me. And the other thing that I noticed was, like, Taulia totally leans into it. Like, he loves talking about Tua, and like, he'll admit that. Like, he doesn't seem to be affected by what some might say is kind of this like big shadow that is cast over his career. And, you know, in talking to Talia about that and his parents, it really kind of goes back to his family and their culture and how they like genuinely see such an importance in who they are as a family. And it makes it to where Talia, you know, sometimes I think he'd rather be talking about Tua than himself. So he really doesn't get tired of it. And I just think it's really interesting, an interesting look at who Talia is as a person and how he's been able to navigate, you know, being the younger brother, playing the same position as his uber successful brother without letting it, you know, totally get to him.
What made Marilyn make sense for him? Obviously, it all started in Alabama, and now it's found its way to College Park. So can you connect those dots for our listeners as to how this came to pass?
Yeah, and, you know, I think without Mike Locksley as the coach at Maryland, there's no chance Talia ends up there. And it's because, you know, the family, Talia had never been far from his family, far from his parents. And they were not going to have him go somewhere where they didn't totally trust the people he was going to be with. And they knew Locksley from him having worked with Tua as the offensive coordinator at Alabama. And that's ultimately what made them do it. Talia had never even been to Maryland. He said the closest he had been was New York for his brother's Heisman ceremony. So really hadn't seen the campus, didn't know a lot about it. But he and his family knew that Locksley was in charge, and they had experience with him. And that's ultimately what gave Maryland the edge there.
Is it putting it into a vacuum way too much to say that the Terps' success and how they do and where they go is, if not all, tied to Tali Tungavailoa, or is it at least largely tied to it? Basically, how important is he to Maryland's success?
I think he's really important. I don't know how much that is unique to Maryland, though. Like, I think most teams, if you have a great quarterback, you're almost always going to have a chance. If you have a quarterback who's really struggling, it's going to be really hard to have a chance. So I don't think that necessarily makes Maryland unique, but in the sense that they have a lot of the pieces, it's almost like, you know, it's just waiting for them to take that next step, if Talia can take that next step. The one thing that's, I'd say, certainly out of his control is the offensive line. That's kind of been the one position that Locksley has singled out repeatedly as being, you know, the big question mark on this team. He's kind of spoken about in a way that you don't always hear coaches say, like outwardly say, like, yeah, I'm kind of worried about this. So I think if the offensive line really struggles, that could be something to where maybe Talia isn't given quite a chance to succeed as much as he could. So I wouldn't put it all on him, but if he has kind of this breakout standout year, then I think Maryland is probably going to a bowl game and fans are pretty excited.
And is that the expectation, a 6-win season? Are they pleased with that? Thrilled with that? Is that a disappointment? Kind of, if you could, as much as you can, quantify what is success for Maryland football this year.
Yeah, I think it's 6 wins. You know, nobody will come out and straight up say that, and maybe there's some fans that think the bar should be even higher already, but I think from a pretty objective standpoint, if Maryland gets to 6 wins, if they go to a bowl game, you know, maybe they somehow get to 7 wins, like, I think that's a big success. You know, that's something the program hasn't done in a while. That's something really tangible that the fan base, that the program can look at and say, hey, this is better than where we were when Locksley took over. And I think, you know, that's providing a lot of hope to everyone that things are at least moving in the right direction. So that's, you know, I try to take stock of things before the season starts and really have level expectations on how we should be judging things. And I think 6 wins is an appropriate benchmark for Maryland.
Special thanks to Emily Giambalvo. Now let's transition here to the Wolfman, who has been breaking it down, and he's digging deep here to look at those key personnel matchups, the game within the game, and it, as you can imagine, starts in the trenches. All right, Wolf, let's get into some of these one-on-one matchups that we're going to have to be looking forward to here on Saturday. A few early keys. You highlighted one on Tuesday during the press conference show. Zach Frazier obviously making that transition full-time to center. You've got something here, and is Maryland going to play a zero technique over top of him?
Yeah, they will at times. And they'll also play, you know, a one technique with just a shade on the shoulder either side. And the guards are going to have to go against them as well, because they are in multiple defensive front with three defensive linemen or four. So whatever they can get into, you don't know what they're going to be in. But you will definitely have to play against a Mi Finau from Kahuku High School in Hawaii. Now, if anybody knows West Virginia history, we all know about DeVito Fino and the ghost.
So they all are, is Maryland always going to go zero, or is that maybe due in large part because, hey, we've got a new guy, younger guy, making a position change, so let's just get right on top of them?
No, when I was watching the spring game and their defense last year, I saw that they were both just multiple. They like to go three-man defensive front and four-man. But when they go four-man, that's a lot like what you see with us, except that they are not attacking as much. They're not twisting as much. They're not moving around as much. But they are trying to plug the gaps in the four. And when they're in the three-man defensive front, Danny, they're trying to catch it so linebackers can plug the gaps.
Mm. Okay. What do you got as far as safety help being an absolute must? We chatted with Dante Wright. And, you know, there's some new guys, and Neil mentioned in his press conference on Tuesday that, you know, they're a little young and experienced in the back end, and I think the back end is going to be so very crucial against all of those offensive weapons that the Terps have on the perimeter. So there's going to be some need for, and not a, some need, a lot of need, I think, for some safety help, yes?
Yeah, when you think about it, Danny, they're returning five of their six top receivers in catches and yards. They got one of the best I've seen was Dante Demas. This is a 6'3", 217-pound junior. Danny, I think that he had probably 26 catches. Now, remember, they only played five games last year. Okay, so they didn't have a 10-game season, an 11-game season. They only played five games. So getting that many catches is pretty darn good. And I think that when you look at Tonga Vailoa, okay? When you look at that and the way he's progressed that I saw from last season to what I see with the spring ball game, I saw the game there, he has absolutely improved. And just like Jared Deggy, he's getting the same benefits that he gets to throw to his wide receivers, gets to work with his offensive line, gets a pocket presence better. Now, if you go back to it, though, here is the one thing that I have not seen from him that I'm impressed with yet.
Okay.
Because he did throw a pick in the spring game, but he had seven touchdowns last year. Again, five games only, but he also had seven picks. Okay, one-for-one ratio is now what you're looking for at your quarterback.
Can we
position.
Smoke and mirror him? Can we confuse him? What can we do to kind of get that ratio to essentially play in our favor? If he's going to throw for two TDs, well, let's make sure that he's got two picks on Saturday. What can we do to make sure that that's kind of a, you know, the ratio is one-to-one?
I always think that smoke and mirrors in a defensive backfield set is important. It really is. And here's the good news is because you got Sean Mahone back there. You have, you know, help me out here.
Kerry Martin,
but Scotty Johnson. Okay, that's what I was trying to get at. Okay, you have some older guys. You got Nick Troy Fortune back there. And so you have some older guys that understand about disguising. And I think when you are attacking with the defensive line, the way I believe that West Virginia will continue to do so on their defensive front and twisting and turns and blasting through angles and trying to create pressure, I think is very important that their disguising is there. But also, they got to have eyes to see when he's trying to run, because this guy can hurt you when he runs. When he wants to go out, just like we saw last year. Remember the Texas Tech game. How many times were we in a third and long situation on defense for the opposing team? And what did he do? The quarterback escaped. Well, if you remember, Fields was what? He was hurt. He got ejected out of the game after the first quarter, and that's when they came and started to really pressure us. So we got to have eyes in the backfield to watch him and to corral him, because if you can shut down the run of Maryland, I think I saw that Phil Steele said if they get 185 yards rushing, then they're in a good position.
They are.
Okay, so unbeaten. We need to stop them, and this is what I want to do. I'm going to say shut the run down, and that includes the quarterback as well, but also – make him beat you with his arm. Because I don't know if he's beat everybody with his arm yet. Not for a one-to-one touchdown pick ratio.
Yeah, and that note, by the way, from Phil Steele, when the Terps top 185 in rushing, they are unbeaten, and they were winning by an average score of 63-9. However, if they did not get to 185, they were winless, and they were losing by an average of essentially 30 points. So if you're looking for a magic number in this game, and if it's going to hold serve and true, into 2021, it would be that rush yards mark. So follow that WVU Game Day app while you watch or listen to the game and check out those live stats and see where that is trending over the course of the afternoon.
Make him beat you with his arm, Danny.
And that's a great point. You mentioned the essentially one-to-one touchdown to interception ratio. Maryland has failed to have a quarterback, by the way, start every game in 14 of the last 16 years. So quarterback inconsistency has been around for nearly the better part of 20 years. Wolf, we appreciate you breaking it down with us. We've got plenty more to break down here on the Go Martin Mountaineer Tailgate Show. We will be live at College Park high noon and can't wait for it, brother. So bottle up that energy. I know you're full of it. In so many ways. You're full of it in so many ways. But as it pertains to your energy, let's save some here for Neil's show Thursday night. And, of course, obviously when we're on the air with the signal caller, Coach Wallace and TC.
It's a red-letter game, brother.
Special thanks to the Wolfman, Dale Wolfley. He'll be joining us on the Coach's Show coming up Thursday night, 6 until 8, live from Kegler's. Looking forward to getting back to Kegler's and being out amongst Mountaineer football fans here in advance of Maryland. So be sure to set your calendar there for the 6 p.m. Time slot when Neil will hold his first Coach's Show. And Wolf will join me and Jed Drenning live from Bird Stadium at high noon on MSN's Go Mart Mountaineer Tailgate Show. All right, Jarrett Dagey, let's transition to the WVU quarterback, an opportunity to sit down with Jarrett Dagey, the QB1 finally able to go into an offseason knowing that he's got the job done to be the guy to lead this offense, and a guy that's really worked so very hard to transform his body, his mind, his footwork, his arm strength. He's really in a good spot.
All right, Jarrett, so take me through the offseason. You had on your checklist a few different things, and by all accounts, footwork, arm strength, you've checked those boxes.
Yeah, so the two things I really wanted to focus on was my deep ball and my pocket movement, and I think I really honed in on those two and got a lot better, and it showed in spring football and in fall camp of, you know, moving in the pocket a little bit better and being on point with my deep ball.
Yeah, and Neil mentioned that there are guys that essentially have dreams and have visions. You have vision. Talk about the mentality that you have to have to go get it day after day after day.
Yeah. So as a quarterback, you know, you're just putting everything into action, right? I want to get better at pocket movement, so I do pocket movement drills every day after practice. And then putting that into vision, right, makes it work into a game. And now being a quarterback, you got to, if a play goes good or bad, you got to be able to play the next play, and I feel like that's an everyday thing too. You have a good practice or a bad practice, you got to come back and
have that short memory, right?
Short memory and learn from your mistakes is what I was trying to say.
Yeah, no doubt, because it's that play the next play thing. If you're living in the rearview mirror, right? I'll take the old Bob Huggins thing. Yeah. Take that rearview mirror off the windshield, rip it off, and throw it in the back so you can only look forward, huh?
No doubt. That'd be pretty cool if you could do that in your head, right?
Easier said than done. Yeah. People don't realize that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, COVID, man, with what happened, you know, not being able to be with your wide receivers for a quarterback, that's like cutting your left arm off. I mean, how hard was that to try to develop that rapport in the socially distanced world that was 2020?
I think at the time you really didn't understand, like, it wasn't that big of a deal. But now you look back and you realize all this summer, that time you spent with them actually helps a lot. And so you look back in COVID year and then you only got to throw to one receiver every day. And you can just feel the chemistry and relationships building way better for this year.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the time investment, you know, to learn everybody's idiosyncrasies, body movements, you know, even that nonverbal communication that you have. You know, I was talking to Coach Reagan about that, and he brought it up, and we're just like, oh, yeah, like, that's a big deal.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like the chemistry, like, I can look into their eyes, and we're just on the same page, right? And so they know what I'm about to do, and I know what they're about to do before we do it.
Yeah, and that's a pretty good room that you got in there, that receiver's room. They're expecting big things from you. You're expecting big things from them, yes?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you look at them, and they look like freaks when you're looking at them. And they put in the work, too, so I'm excited to see what they do this season.
All right, who are we not talking about in that receiver's room that we should be talking about?
Yeah, I mean, you see Winston, Bryce, but you think of other guys like Reese Smith's going to come in. He's going to catch any ball you throw to him. Sean Ryan's really making strides, and so is Isaiah Esdell. And then Caden Prather is a freshman, which you're going to see him play a few snaps and make a lot of plays too.
And heck, at this point, we could probably throw Letty in that mix, right?
No doubt. I mean, he's basically – we're going to get him touches at receiver and running back, and he's obviously our best player on the team, so we want to get him the ball as much as we can.
That's QB1, Jared Daigie. Thanks to Jared Daigie. Looking for – he's got to root for it, to pull for Jared Daigie. And I think, you know, this is a guy that – is going to surprise some people. Just when you look at his confidence and where he's at in his maturation process, this is the growth and development that we talk about in a player-oriented and player-focused program that Neil Brown is trying to run, and we're starting to see proof positive that Jared Daigie is really somebody that you can do some good things with. So really pulling for a guy like Jared Daigie. And we're always pulling for West Virginia to beat Pitt, obviously. And the Panthers are one of the best men's soccer programs in the country, but as is the case when many a top five program come to Morgantown in whatever sport it may be, well, they just find that country roads isn't so kind to them, as was the case the other night at Dick Dlesk Soccer Stadium. And we're happy to be joined by Dan Stratford, WVU men's soccer coach in year number two, to discuss it all. Here we are in the aftermath of one of the great wins, I think, in recent program history, and just the way that everything kind of aligned the other night at Dick Dlesk Soccer Stadium. The weather, the crowd, the opponent, the result. I'm not sure that you could have really asked for a better set of circumstances to all work out.
No, it was a perfect evening. Again, obviously, result dependent. It's great to have a quality opponent and a quality test like that early on in the season. It's coincidence that it happens to be the backyard brawl and a local rival. But anytime you can have a top 10 opponent at home, I think that should generate a huge interest from the crowd. And obviously, it's even sweeter when it's Pittsburgh and it's a rivalry game on top of that. So, yeah, as you said, the stars aligned and the guys delivered on the night in terms of their performance, and I think we were thoroughly deserving of the result as well.
Yeah, no doubt. And I do want to get to your team and why they are deserving and why obviously they have put themselves in position to be able to do the things that they've done and maybe even do here coming up on Friday against Penn State. But, oh, by the way, you go from Pitt to Penn State at home. That in and of itself is a dream week, I think, for any West Virginia fan in any sport, whether you're playing football or whether you're playing chutes and ladders. Pitt and Penn State at home, that's like the dream week for a Mountaineer fan. And oh, by the way, both Pitt and Penn State are ranked in the top 15. We have to really go digging here, and I'm going to give John Antonik some homework. Has anything under that set of circumstances ever happened in West Virginia history? This is an incredible, incredible week.
Yeah, and one we're very much looking forward to. You know, we have aspirations to be a top 10 program ourselves, and we have a schedule befitting of a team that's aspiring to do that. So to play the number three team in the country, who I have to say are deserving of that ranking, it's a very, very good team that we just faced on Monday night. And then to turn around and to play Penn State, less than a week later, it's honestly a sign of more things to come, because the following Friday it's Ohio State at home, and the following Friday it's the national champions in Marshall away. So we have an incredible schedule. I think, you know, we looked at things going into this season, you know, back early in my tenure with the program, and we want to play in the types of games that will get the fans excited, will generate the interest that we want in terms of you know, having a crowd there and having that 12th man, which we definitely did on Monday night, but also some of those local rival games and some of those quality RPI games. And we're fortunate that in the climate of men's soccer right now, all of those teams that I mentioned are all doing very well and all high in the RPI. So it just makes sense. It just absolutely makes sense for the likes of Pittsburgh, the likes of Marshall, Penn State, Ohio State to be on our schedule. It's a local game. It's one that, that the fans can get behind, and it's a quality fixture and a good, tough opponent for us. So we're off to a great start, obviously, but it is just the start, and we need to stay pretty grounded here and make sure we refocus again for a really tough test on Friday in Penn State.
Coach, how have you kept your wits about you, and how have you kept your team focused? The last 18 months, I would imagine, for anybody in the men's soccer sphere, has been perhaps as tenuous as any other sport that is out there, right? I think your program perhaps experienced more disruption than any other program. And to be candid with you, and credit to Shane Lyons, at the outset of the coronavirus pandemic, one thing that he was just hell-bent on is to not have to ever cut programs. That wasn't the case necessarily at other institutions. I'm going to ask you how much everybody was maybe walking on eggshells in the men's soccer community at the height of the pandemic.
Yeah, I'd be lying if I said it didn't come up, and that we weren't conscious of other well-established universities and well-established men's soccer programs that no longer exist as a result of what we've just gone through in the last 18 months. The likes of Cincinnati, Appalachian State, to name but a few. So, listen, when you start to look at that and you see some of that in the news and in the college athletics environment, you look down the list of teams and programs that play here at WVU, and we're what, the only sport that doesn't play in the Big 12? It's a process of elimination. So, yeah, I'll be honest, I'd be lying to you if it didn't cross our mind, then it wasn't a conversation. And then just understanding the reality of how challenging these times were for everyone, fiscally as well, for the administration and the department. And understanding that our responsibility was to understand that with us not playing the season, the best thing we could do was make as little noise as possible, really. Let Shane and let others focus on how football we're going to play, how other, some of the other sports we're going to participate within the Big 12, and just quietly go about our business and make sure that we didn't want that, obviously, to trickle into the players' thought processes. But keep them very focused as well on the long-term objectives and outcomes of this program. I think it helped that there was still the element of new within the staff, within the program from a personnel perspective. I think there was 11 new players going into the 2020 season. There's 9 more this season as well. So I think we've kept that in focus and in the forefront of our minds, that this is a new group that has a ton of ambition. And is really, really motivated to make an impact here this fall and see if we can't compete with the likes of Pittsburgh and many others that will play this season that are going to be ranked and going to test this event against some of the very best in the country.
Yeah, and I bring that up because, I mean, what a difference 12 months can make. And everybody was able to keep it together, because if there really is any time for chaos to reign, and for chaos to reign in any program, frankly, Dan, it would be yours, but yet you kept it all together and you deliver a moment like you delivered earlier this week.
Yeah, it was special. It's funny that you worded that way. I the final whistle went and Shane came over and gave me a hug and congratulated me. And what not a year earlier, it was a very, very different climate where, you know, we wouldn't have been within 10 feet of one another. So, yeah. As you said, how times have changed, and that's quite a nice, metaphor, I guess. But I would say, we had to roll with the punches. We had to be pretty versatile, and the credit goes to the players, really, from a standpoint of, just adapting to this new normal that we experienced for the last 12 months that we're still working through, but feel like we're close to the finish line, I suppose. Going through a spring season that we still had a lot of value playing those games and emphasized a lot of importance. But again, it was very hard for us not to look ahead to this ball and be incredibly excited at the prospect of not just the schedule, but having the fans back for our new players in particular, seeing West Virginia University in all its glory. It's not just the freshmen that have come in this year, the incoming players this year. It's the guys that have been with the program for a year now that are only now just seeing WVU in all its glory, which this time of year when the weather's still good, all the students are back, everyone's excited about fall sports. This is a really special time to be a student at WVU. It was my favorite period of the year as a student here as well. So I'm glad they're getting to experience that right now. And I'm glad we've obviously had the start that we have. And a special, special night this early on in the season with Pittsburgh last Monday.
Well, I congratulate you for what you've accomplished here in the early going. I wish you all the best here starting on Friday evening with number 11 Penn State. And as you mentioned, Ohio State and then the defending national champs in Marshall coming down the pike on the road. Exciting time to jump on the bandwagon. I'm sure there's plenty of room. You're waving them aboard. Say, come on, hop aboard.
Definitely. I think, listen, I've been here now 17 years, and the differences in terms of the level of interest, the raised and heightened awareness of the sport in this country is substantial. I think when I came here, everyone was talking about how men's soccer and the sport was growing in this country, and it has continued to do that. And I think that process has been expedited thanks to the level of access that you now get with the Premier League, for example. I think ESPN have just picked up La Liga. So you have, I think, on any given day, you can watch the top league in Germany, the top league in England, the top league in Spain. And I think that helps. The Euros and the recent successes of the national team, both on the men's and women's side, has continued to raise the profile of the sport. And we've continued to be the beneficiaries of that, quite honestly, within the college environment. The quality of domestic players that are coming through now, they're starting at a much younger age. They're getting access to a far better quality of coaching than perhaps they were 15, 20 years ago. And it only continues to raise the level of what we have in the college soccer as well.
Great stuff from Coach Stratz. He's got the program here looking forward and upward. You know, with everything that happened COVID-related, I do wonder if men's soccer perhaps was not impacted the most of all of the sports at the collegiate level. And here they are, in their first real sense of normalcy, pulling off top five victories over programs like the Pitt Panthers and men's soccer. Hey, folks, it's Dan Zangrilli. You know, we've all been there late in fourth quarter, and the Mountaineers' lead might be slipping. And then all of a sudden, you need a refuel. So what do you do? Well, I'll tell you what to do. You order all of your stuff on GoPuff. I know, I'm not hitting the store mid-game, right? You've kept that radio close by, you're listening to MSN, and you're yelling at the TV, so you need somebody to help deliver to you in minutes what you need, and that's where GoPuff comes in, so you don't even have to get up and give up that spot on the couch. GoPuff is great on game days, but you can use them for really anything and everything. Laundry day, students, first day of classes, late night studying, late night other things. They've got the snacks, drinks, cleaning supplies, school supplies, and so much more. So be sure to give it a shot and use the code VARSITY. When you check out, VARSITY, V-A-R-S-I-T-Y, at checkout, you can get $10 off your first two orders. And the fine print, I should say, minimum order may apply. That's offered through New Year's Day 2022. Well, that puts a bow on all of it. Hope you've enjoyed this one. It was a fun labor of love to piece it all together. A lot of moving parts. Hopefully, we covered enough ground for you. Special thanks to Emily Giambalfo from the Washington Post, Coach Stratford, Jared Dagey, and, of course, the Wolfman. Again, be sure to download that WVU Game Day app. Super important here if you want to make sure that you don't have to pay to listen to MSN programming. Tune in no longer the way to go. WVU Game Day app, WVUsports.com. Your MSN radio affiliates, nothing's changed there. They can stream, so plenty of options to go ahead and get us for free. If you do have any questions, be sure to email us, drop us a line. You can text us, you can email us. That's WVUMSN@gmail.com, WVUMSN@gmail.com. Phone number to send a text message, 304-314-4161. That's 304-314-4161, and one of our MSN representatives will be with you shortly. All right, we've got the Go Mart Mountaineer Tailgate Show, high noon from College Park, Maryland. Myself, the signal caller, and the Wolfman, Coach Wallace, and Tony will call the action for you live at the scene. We are closest to the team, and we are and always will be MSN, the Mountaineer Sports Network.
You've been listening to the Mountaineer Insider here on MSN, the Mountaineer Sports Network. Like the podcast? Give us 5 stars or leave a review. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at WVUMSN or find the latest news and information on the Mountaineers at WVUSports.com. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of MSN, the Mountaineer Sports Network.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.